bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Tuesday night, Camden Yards. And tonight, we've got baseball interleague, the Pirates in town. Can you feel the buzz? Tonight, game one of a quickie two-game series. And by the way, it's not like 1971. Clemente is not in the lineup here tonight. In a moment, Buck Showalter with the manager's report right after this.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Buck, looking back at Sunday's game, when Chris Sale's forced to throw 39 pitches in the first inning, are you thinking, all right, we may have a shot to get him out early? He ends up going six and turning in a quality start.
Well, you like the fact that you've made him grind that first inning, but, you know, really good pitchers. I also said to myself, I'll bet you he ends up pitching six, maybe seven, because, you know, he doesn't throw a lot of pitches that you can put in play, and usually he's very quick in the count and attacks the strike zone. So, you know, we had a lot of foul balls, a lot of things. You had a shot, but, you know, people miss how good their bullpen is. You know, you got three guys that should throw from 96 to 101. They don't really take a real deep step. And, you know, figure out a way to beat Rodriguez. You figure out a way to beat Porcello. And then you got those two guys coming at you at the end. And it's tough. And it's why they're so good and unable to, you know, bring those people in.
They keep track of everything else in baseball. Do they keep track of most foul balls off a pitching staff? Because it just seems like you guys would have to be among the leaders, if not the leader.
No, I think we've talked about that. Last 2 years, we've led all of baseball in foul balls. You know, it's part of it. And believe me, we've thought a lot about it. And we guys all have some private reasons why, but it is what it is. And, you know, I wouldn't like to say it's something we need to get better at. What we want to do hit the sweet part of the bat. I mean, strikeouts are one thing and the walks, but it does lend for some real deep counts in batter to batter. And I think that's why a lot of our guys have so short of outings sometimes.
Donnie Hart had a 0.49 ERA in 22 games last summer. 22 this year, it's 4.41. What's been the difference?
The breaking ball it's a ball to strike breaking ball instead of a strike to ball, and he's been inconsistent with it, and the command of his fastball. You know, he came up here really commanding the fastball on both sides of the plate and sweeping the breaking ball off the zone, and he hasn't been consistent with that yet.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Thursday, you guys acquired utility infielder Ruben Tejada from the Yankees. Today, he's here. Obviously, you're familiar with him. You've seen him an awful lot. What does he bring?
Well, you know, I don't know other than, you know, we played him some in interleague play. I talked to Terry Collins, who had him a while with the Mets and got some background. And quite frankly, Aynar Diaz is probably the most familiar with him because he's from Panama, as Aynar is, and has had him in some national teams and what have you. Good defender, play all three, got some ability to swing the bat. Not near the runner he used to be because of the leg injuries with the slides at second base, everybody will remember, with Chase Utley. He's had two of those, but none of them required surgery. Good kid, only 27 years old, and we think it's got potential to be an upgrade, especially with some unknown about how quickly Flaherty's going to get back.
Which leads me to the next question. Are there any updates on Flaherty and Britton? We seem to lump them together.
Not really. I talked to both of them via text. You know, Zach had a flat mound day, which is a good step for us. He hates that stuff because he wants to really get up to the top and let it rip. But and Ryan's very close to starting to throwing. He's going to have a meeting with Dr. Jacobs on Friday, and hopefully they'll clear him.
Wellington Castillo, it looked like he was going to do some hitting earlier today. Is he getting close to being ready to go out on assignment?
Well, I don't know about assignment. We're probably going to take him to Washington, New York with us and catch BP and do some things maybe from a sim standpoint. And because if you look at the schedule with our minor leagues, it's not very cooperative unless you want to go to Trenton, New Jersey to play. But I look forward to having him as our catcher on Saturday.
And finally, Pirates starting Ivan Nova tonight. He's averaging less than a walk per nine innings. And now you know you saw him before when he was with the Yankees. If nothing else, do you figure, all right, he's going to be around the strike zone? You know that much about him.
Well, he's averaging the least amount of pitchers per batter and per outing of any starter in baseball. This is a guy with early contact, early outs. You got to be careful with him. And he's one of those few guys. He throws like 75% fastballs, two-seam, four-seam to right-hand hitters. That's really unusual in today's game, 70 to left-handers. So he's a guy that's going to feed off that sinker with a real high release angle, and he'll mix in about 20% curveballs.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Now, a couple of guys to look out for tonight. Mark Trumbo, 10 for 21 with three home runs against Ivan Nova. And Chris Davis, 9 hits against Ivan Nova, and 3 of the 9 hits have been home runs. So Chris Davis, we wonder, but the warm-up show, wonder no more. Chris Davis and Jim Hunter when we continue after this.
On a beautiful night for baseball at Camden Yards, and the Orioles today announced that Chris and Jill Davis will host Crushes Homers for Hearts, a charity home run derby event that will benefit the pediatric heart program at the University of Maryland Children's Hospital at the University of Maryland Medical Center. Chris Davis up next on the Orioles Radio Network. The Orioles homestand continues tonight. Interleague baseball at Camden Yards. Game one of a two-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And visiting with Chris Davis, who is extending his commitment to the University of Maryland Children's Hospital. Now, Chris, you and your wife, Jill, came up with a fabulous idea. Tell me about Crushes Homers for Hearts and how that's going to help.
So the last few years, I've basically said however many home runs I hit, I'm going to take that and multiply it by X amount of dollars, and whether it was a charity that we had dealt with in the past or just an organization that we felt could really use the money, that's kind of where we've directed it. And obviously with us pairing with the hospital, we've learned a lot more about what they're doing in their cardiovascular department, as far as like state-of-the-art stuff that's actually never even been done before is happening there with children getting stents, all kinds of things to help them, to help their hearts work a little bit better and stuff like that. So we basically have said we're going to donate. I haven't even seen how we're going to break it up yet, but however many home runs at the end of the year, we're going to take that and we're going to multiply it by 100, 1,000, I'm not sure, and donate that to the hospital.
All right, now you have a big event coming up on July 13th, which is the final day of the All-Star break. Team will be back together, a team workout, and it's a home run derby that fans can actually purchase to get involved in that, and that helps the hospital. So tell us about that idea and how it's going to work.
So we're going to it's something that we wanted to start this year and have be an annual thing. So we're going to try to basically set up a home run derby to where fans who are I think it's 18 and older can actually try to hit a home run or take the shot at hitting a home run at Camden. I think they get 10 outs, and then we're going to have a smaller one, a smaller scale for some of the patients at the hospital, some of the younger kids. And I think it's just a good way for us to kind of remember why we're here, and kind of take the focus off baseball and just enjoy ourselves for a day, and then get back to work. So it'll be the last day, like you said, of the All-Star break, and we've been fired up about it. We've been talking about it quite a bit at the house, and we're both looking forward to it.
How many people do you think might want to get involved in that? I understand it's going to be foursomes. How many foursomes can you fit?
We're going to try to fit as many as we can. You know, hopefully we're having to scratch and claw to get everybody in there. We want to have as many people as we can possibly fit in the time frame that we're looking at. But I mean, I think it's a good chance for fans to, you know, come out here and like, you don't get to hit on a big league ball field every day, and it's for a good cause. So you get to come out here and like I said, take your swings and see if you can put your money where your mouth is.
Do you think any of your teammates may jump in there and give advice, or are they just going to watch and enjoy the non-professionals trying to hit it out?
Yeah, I hope they interact with the fans, and I hope they get in there and give them some pointers, and I hope it's just a really fun thing for everybody involved.
You know, you made the point when you visited in December about how having healthy children is a blessing. And I got to believe that that's one of the reasons that you and Jill picked this particular charity, the Children's Hospital, because for no fault of their own, they have challenges.
Exactly. And, you know, my wife was a nurse at a children's hospital in Texas when we were with the Rangers. And she obviously has a heart for kids. And I would go up there and visit her, bring her lunch some days, and got a chance to meet some of the patients and interact with them. And you can't imagine something like that happening to your child, and they have no say over it. They really obviously would rather be doing other things than being in hospital all the time, but they really don't have a choice. So anytime that we can help out and make them a little bit more comfortable and kind of take their mind away from what they're going through, you know, we jump at that opportunity.
All right. On the last road trip, you were talking about trying to see the ball better. Tonight, you bring a six-game hitting streak into this game. So I can assume that you finally are seeing the ball as well as you want to or as well as you can because the production is there.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, something I kind of got away from in Houston. And, you know, it wasn't because I wasn't putting in the work or doing certain things that I've been doing all season that have made me feel a little bit more comfortable in the box. Just for whatever reason, I wasn't picking the ball up. And that was a huge point of emphasis for me and Cooley coming back home and hitting in a place where I know I was comfortable and I know that I've had some success. And we made a few adjustments, and it's paid off so far. So hopefully I can keep it going.
And even for a veteran like you that has such a consistent track record, the confidence has to be there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, as a veteran player, you understand that you've done it before. You're going to go through periods where, you know, you're not the greatest hitter on the team, but you continue to work and continue to do things that you've done in the past that have kind of triggered those, you know, feelings or whatever it is that have helped you to be successful. And you understand that sometimes it just takes a little bit of time and you keep working at it.
So Chris Davis and his wife Jill will host that Crushes Homers for Hearts, the charity home run derby. It'll be on Thursday, July 13th. That is the final day of the All-Star break right here at Camden Yards from 5 until 9 o'clock. And it all benefits the pediatric heart program of the University of Maryland Children's Hospital at the University of Maryland Medical Center. Davis brings a six-game hitting streak into tonight's game. It is an absolutely gorgeous night for baseball at Camden Yards. Interleague baseball, O's and the Pirates. And from Oriole Park, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. And, yep, back in the win column here tonight as they win the first of a two-game set interleague against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And what a victory it was. I mean, they were down early in this game. They were down in the middle of the game. They were down all the way going to the bottom of the ninth inning tonight. In fact, the first time they had the lead tonight was when they won the game. That is after the Seth Smith home run to get the game started. So they waited till the bottom of the 10th inning to win this thing, and they do it in very dramatic fashion. They come up with their fifth walk-off victory of the season so far. Orioles with a victory tonight. They are now 30-26. And for the moment, they're three games now behind the Yankees in the Eastern Division. The Yankees right now at home at Yankee Stadium. That game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Red Sox are ahead 5-4. We will keep you posted during the postgame show. Seth Smith, right away, bottom one. He gave the Orioles an immediate early lead. High fly ball to deep center. Backing up, McCutchen. Backing up, looking behind him. Wave it bye-bye. Mr. Smith goes deep over the center field fence. His sixth home run, and just like that, it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. How about that? Seth Smith, his fourth career leadoff home run. So 1-0, Kevin Gausman, who had gotten the Pirates 1-2-3 on just 13 pitches in the first inning. Went back to work, second inning with a 1-0 lead. David Freese, a leadoff single. Josh Bell, an infield single. And so the Pirates had a runner in scoring position for McCutchen. McCutchen loops it behind Davis. That's a base hit. So Freese will come in to score. Bell is going to pull up at second base. And Smith gets it back in toward the middle of the infield. We got a 1-1 game here in the second inning. And McCutchen picking up his 29th RBI. Then moments after that, Jason, line drive, left center. That's a base hit. Jones over, lunges at it, cuts it off, minimizing the damage. One run is in as Bell has come in to score. McCutchen goes to third. Jason winds up at second base. But a good job by Adam Jones to cut the ball off. Otherwise, I think McCutchen might have scored. And the Pirates are ahead 2-1. Yeah, one-run game at that moment. Later, a ground out drove in another run. And the Pirates had scored three runs on four hits in that inning against Kevin Gausman. Well, it stayed that way until the top of the sixth inning. One out, bases empty. That's when David Freese came up, and he went deep.
Here's the 3-1, swinging a high fly ball to right. That ball's hit well. Smith is back on it. It's over his head, and it's gone. It carries into the bleachers. Opposite field home run for David Freese. And the Pirates' lead is now 4-1. So Gausman got behind him 3-1, and Freese looking for a pitch. He got it, and he goes the opposite way for his sixth home run.
There you go. Kevin Gausman would go 6 2/3 innings, gave up 4 runs, 8 hits, a walk, and 5 strikeouts. And that one home run was the only home run he gave up in the game. So when he left, it was his game to lose. Eventually, Orioles made it a ball game in the bottom of the 7th inning when Chris Davis came up as the leadoff hitter.
And Novadil swinging a high fly ball right field. That ball is a chance. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. Onto the flat court for Davis. It's a 2-run game. So Chris, who at his last at-bat struck out on 3 pitches, he jumped on the first pitch here. And he hits it out, his 13th home run, his 25th RBI, and it's a 2-run game.
So there you go. Davis with that home run to begin the comeback, as it turned out, because just moments after that.
And the pitch, Scope hits one deep left field. Down the line it goes towards the corner, and that ball is gone. The Orioles go back-to-back. It's a 1-run game. So Jonathan, who just missed a home run in the second, doesn't miss here. Right down the line, about 4 rows back, and it's a 4-3 game at Camden Yards. So Scope, who ended the top half of this inning with that diving stop that prevented the Pirates from scoring, now comes back and contributes as the Orioles go back-to-back here in the 7th.
Yep, and for Jonathan Scope, that was only the beginning. Oriole bullpen, Michael Givens came out of the bullpen, 8th inning, and he came in, he struck out the side. And then in a 1-run game, Darren O'Day was summoned in the top of the 9th inning. He did get the first 2 outs, but then he walked Adam Frazier, and that's when Harrison came up to hit, and, well, he found 3 bases. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Here goes the runner. Fly ball, left center. Adam Jones on the run. On the run. Can he get there? Reaches out. He cannot get to it. That's going to be extra bases. Frazier comes in to score. There goes Harrison to third, and he is in there standing. And suddenly, it's a 2-run game in the top of the 9th inning. 5-3 Pittsburgh. Oh, that 2-out walk. Yeah, that's what led to that extra run. And at that point in the game, it did not look good. But then came the bottom of the 9th inning. Tony Watson, a left-hander, came out of the bullpen. Chris Davis, the leadoff hitter, he got a base hit to right center. So he was on base, and suddenly the Orioles had the tying run in the batter's box. And that tying run, his name was Jonathan Scope. With the count 0-1. Scope, 1-for-3 with that home run back in the 7th inning. Watson is ready at the belt and delivers. Scope fly ball into center. Well hit. McCutcheon way back there. Way back there. Pavement. Bye-bye. Jonathan Scope has done it. He has tied the game in the bottom of the 9th inning. Davis a single, and Scope drives him in. It's a 5-5 game. My goodness. My goodness indeed. Scope, his second home run of the game, a 2-run home run, which is why we went into extra innings. Brad Brock came out of the bullpen. He got him 1-2-3 with a strikeout in the 10th. And then came the bottom of the 10th inning. It was Joy Rickard, a ground out to begin the inning. But then Adam Jones, he singled. So he was on base, the would-be winning run. Only 1 out. Manny Machado came up to hit. And at that point, it looked as though Manny had gotten one. It looked as though he had won the game. That's the way it looked. It didn't happen.
LeBlanc deals, swinging a high fly ball left field. That ball's got a chance. Back it goes, back it goes. At the wall, it's caught by Frazier with his back against the wall. And Jones alertly tags and gets in the scoring position at second base. He just missed it. Wow. The way Frazier was going back, I thought it was going to be over his head into the stands, and he nonchalantly went back to the wall, and with his back at the wall, he made the catch. His back was touching the wall.
But again, the key was Adam Jones on that fly ball, tagging and going to second base from first. So he was in scoring position. Trumbo came up to hit the Orioles. Machado couldn't quite get it done with the long ball. Well, Trumbo, he did it with little ball.
LeBlanc deals, swinging a line drive, and a base hit to center field. Jones around third, coming to the plate. McCutcheon's throw is not in time. Jones slides in, and the Orioles walk it off. Wow, you talk about manufacturing a run. A single. Jones tags up on a near home run, and Mark Trumbull walks it off. What a win for the Orioles. They tie it with a two-run home run by Scope in the bottom of the ninth and walk it off on an RBI single by Trumbull in the bottom of the 10th.
There you go. The Orioles with their fifth walk-off victory so far this season. And by the way, it's a final in New York. Boston, they beat the Yankees 5-4. So the Red Sox now, they're just one game back of the Yankees. Orioles now just 2.5 games in back of New York. Jim Hunter continues the postgame activities right after this.
So a big, big win for the Orioles as they snap the two-game losing streak, go 5-3 through 8 games on the 9-game homestand. Let's hear from the skipper now. Head downstairs. Postgame comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up, Rock? It's a disease I have, okay? I can't help it. What's up?
I know Trumbull's going to get most of the attention at the end, but Adam advancing to second on that fly ball, how key is it?
It's, you know, it's either a home run or he's going to catch it. You know, you take a little gamble in case it goes off the wall or something, but that much hang time. You know, that's another example of a baseball player play that analytics won't ever evaluate. You know, those are things, that's how, you know, so separating and evaluating really good players like Adam. You know, so many little things he does. So that's another example of it. It's anticipating plays and figuring out some way to go 90 feet. A lot of things happen there, but, you know, Nova's good. I mean, he's, what, fifth in the National League in ERA. You can see why. I mean, he's, I tell you, Ray Searidge's got a great reputation. You can tell that he's a different pitcher than we saw with New York.
Scope has, I guess, 11 RBIs in the seventh inning or later. He leads the team in that. I know some of that is his luck and guys being on base, but is there something to kind of maybe him maturing a little bit as a hitter and dialing it up late in the game?
You know what you see is John takes information in from his previous at-bats and applies them later on in the game. It's a learning curve. A lot of times it's, you know, John's not one of those guys anymore that, you know, what's the definition of not being completely sane is just having the same things happen. John watches how people are pitching him, what he's doing wrong, and, you know, he makes adjustments to patterns and what they're doing. And it's one of the challenges of playing a team you don't see hardly ever. Seems like we saw him 20 times in the spring. I was kidding our guys. Most of our guys have seen all their pitchers in the bullpen. There's that group that went to Bradenton all the time. But I think that's a sign, is that he takes – you know, things that are going on with him and make some adjustments to him and tries to do something else different.
Gausman had a kind of interesting performance in the second inning. He was really rough.
I'd say rough statistically. I will say this, you know, he gets a chopper anywhere else and it sneaks through the infield, and then he gets a broken bat flare the other way. I say just off the end of the bat, and then McCutchen, you know, fights the ball off, may have broke his bat into right, and then I think he gave up one hard-hit ball that inning. So, you know, I kind of take that with a grain of salt, but it's what happened after that. You know, he kept us engaged in the game.
Look, I know the game was won on a single, but is this the type of team that is constructed to come back from a deficit because of its power?
Well, I mean, on paper, but it's hard to do that if nobody's on base. You know, the one that really got us in there was when somebody was on base in front of John. You know, Chris's base hit off the left hand was big. And that guy's had a heck of a year. Their whole bullpen, you know, they got three guys down there. If you look at them statistically, they're pretty impressive. And so I look kind of at what set that up, because the other ones were solos. You know, they were good. They got us back in it and, you know, got some – you know, we're fortunate that Darren and Brad and Michael had all had 3 days off. So – you know, Michael had a big inning too, but, you know, it's, you talk about power to get back in game, but it's also somebody getting on base before somebody does that.
Well, kind of feeding off of that, how much more damaging can this lineup be with that power? Like you said, if guys start to get on instead of those.
Yeah, and that's, so, you know, what comes first is kind of like chicken and egg, but, you know, it's part of it. It's kind of all the way through baseball. You know, it's a bloop and a black, you know, bloop, a hit by a pitch, and all of a sudden, you know, it's life in the big leagues. That's the first thing that hit me when I got to the big leagues, was how quickly leads could go, because there's power all the way through lineups, including theirs. So I don't care what team you're talking about, that potential is always there. That's why guys who can pitch effectively in the last three innings are so valuable.
I know
you don't want to use a word like luck, or, you know, when you talk about Kevin and all those balls off the end of the bats and stuff going through the infield. But I mean, come down to him, or just the game situations that so many hits end up falling in when you wouldn't expect it to?
Yeah, I was looking at the stats and stuff on him today, and it's just not reflective of what he's capable of doing. You look at the hits to innings, and then you see some of those happen. So it takes a strong constitution to keep grinding through that and not give in and say, I don't think he'd ever say, wow, we. But, you know, every once in a while, you kind of, you know, they're human beings. They go, gosh, what do I got to do here? And I tell them all the time, you got to stay true and keep grinding and keep pushing, and the baseball gods will be kind to you. I tell you, go back first inning, they hit some balls hard that we caught. And there were harder balls hit in the first inning than where the inning gave up the runs. That's a wrap.
Okay, post-game comments from Buck Showalter. Orioles win at 6-5. They walk it off in the bottom of the 10th.